I would like to greet each one this morning in the precious name of Jesus. It's a blessing, it's a privilege that we have of being gathered together in the name of Jesus today to worship together, to learn together. Appreciate the service, the Sunday school time, and your devotions this morning, Brother Ivan. Today is Father's Day, so I would like to wish all of you fathers a happy Father's Day. I would like to wish you all an experience of joy as a father, and may God bless you with courage, the courage and the strength that it takes to carry out your responsibilities. I have two stories that I'd like to tell this morning. Before we go into the message, they are not really connected to the message, but have more to do with Father's Day, and then we'd like to go into the message. Last evening, I stopped in to talk to a neighbor man, and so I was walking up to his house. He came out of his house, and he looked at me, and he said, "Du läufst grad wie dein Dad. You walk right like your father does." And as I left his place and was driving home, I got this real warm feeling inside of me. That was a comment that we don't often get some that feel that good, but it really felt good to me. It was a comment that I liked. And the more I thought about that, you know, Dad and I didn't spend much time. We didn't spend any time in walking sessions, me trying to walk like he walks. I don't know how it happened. It just happened. I didn't even realize it. But I was pleased with that comment because I have a dad that I don't have to be ashamed of that. And I have to think about his character and his life. What if I would have to be ashamed of how Dad walked and the things he did? And I was thankful for a father that I don't have to be ashamed of. Praise God for that. And so I wish each one of you a father like that. Of course, Dad wasn't perfect. He's not perfect. But, you know, the lesson that we want to take from that story is young fathers, your sons will walk like you walk. They will copy your character, your ways, and you don't even have to, you know, it's just going to happen. We pass our convictions on whether we try it or not. That's how it works. Second story I'd like to tell is I was working at a place not so long ago, and there was A young family lived there, and there was a father and a mother and two little children. And as I was working that day and observing them, there was just nice, dear little children, sweet little children. And I thought about the fact of how many homes end up being broken, fathers and mothers leave each other, and I thought this would be so sad if this would happen to these little children. I didn't know these people well. I didn't know them at all. But I was thinking as I was working, what kind of words of life could I speak into their lives before I leave? What could I say that would maybe help avoid a tragedy like that in this situation? So before I left, I was talking to the father, and I told him that, "You have nice children. I like your children." Well, he said, "Which one would you want? Which one do you want to take along?" And I would have felt like saying, I wish later I would have just told him, "I'll take both of them." I think he was being lighthearted. But, you know, that's how society, that's the value that society puts on children. Their pets are very valuable, and pets are very precious to them, but they give their children away. It's unbelievable. So fathers, let's always treasure our children. I don't know, maybe my wife better be aware that someday I might come home with a truckload of children. I don't know, but they're precious in the eyes of God, and they're precious in my eyes too. Okay, for the message this morning, the title of the message is Men for the Kingdom. As I was just telling you my thoughts as I was thinking about a Father's Day message this week, and I'll let you decide if my thoughts were good or bad. Thought of preaching a message to the fathers, the men my age, and I think that would probably be profitable. But you know, for the men that are here that are over 40, your patterns and your lifestyle and the things you do, the choices you make, those things have largely been already set. And probably a message this morning would maybe affect your patterns and your ways of thinking a little bit, but probably not a whole lot. Because your prayer life, the way you pray, your devotional life, and a lot of those things, the choices, how you do business, and just your mannerisms, the courtesies you have, those probably won't change much anymore. And if you don't like that I said that, then just prove me wrong and change something in your life. And but I thought of all the young men here that probably in 10 years, 15 years will be fathers, and I just got this desire, this longing to somehow speak something into their lives that would direct them in the right paths, and I just had a feeling that might be more worthwhile. Whether that's good or bad, I'll let you decide that. But there are a lot of young men here, and I wish you God's blessing as you face life and as you face choices. And today in the message, we'd like to turn to 2 Timothy 2. I was thinking about, what does the Bible say? Does the Bible have anything to say that might encourage our young men, might help our young men, might steer them and guide them, help them to start out right? I know you've already started, but just to give them a boost in their kingdom endeavors, their life in the work of the kingdom. So the title of the message is Men for the Kingdom. And I thought of this scripture in 2 Timothy 2. The Apostle Paul is writing a letter to Timothy. Timothy was he was ordained the first bishop at Ephesus, and he was a young man. Doesn't tell us. We just get that idea from reading Paul's letters to Timothy that he was young. I'd like to read verses 2, chapter 2, 1-7. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. It seems that the Apostle Paul wanted to write something to Timothy, something that would help him, that would give him courage, that would strengthen him, that would help him find the right way. And we see four pictures here in this scripture. Paul talking to him as a son, and Paul using the picture of being a soldier and an athlete, and then a husbandman or a farmer. And I'd like to use those four pictures or four things just to draw points from for the message. Men for the kingdom. First of all, Paul writes and he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong. And that's something that young men enjoy, strength. Paul is not telling Timothy to go out and buy a bunch of weightlifting equipment to build bigger muscles. He's saying be strong, not in that sense, not in the physical way, but in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in this grace. And so the message of this verse is for us to avail ourselves of the grace of God. In John, the Gospel of John, it tells us about Jesus was full of grace and truth. Be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ. Avail yourselves of the grace of Jesus Christ. Not only of the saving grace, but also of the empowering grace. The grace that teaches us, the grace that enables us to live godly lives. Young men, you need that. You need to be strong in this grace. To win a wrestling match, you need strong muscles. And as spiritual sons, we need to be strong in this grace that is in Christ Jesus. How can we be strong in the grace of Christ Jesus? I'd like to turn to the book of Proverbs, and we're going to just page through the first couple chapters and read some verses that are addressed directly to sons. The writer, proverb writer, also uses this, addresses his son personally by saying, "My son." And these verses have a theme of obedience. These verses have a theme of commandments, something about commandments and instructions. And these things are all distinctly and clearly connected to life and true freedom. As we listen to these verses, just see the connection between instruction, obedience, commandments, and how that equals, that is directly connected to life. Proverbs 1, verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother." Verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Chapter 2, verse 1, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee." Chapter 3, verse 1, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Verse 11, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction." Verse 21, "My son, let not them depart from thine eyes, keep sound wisdom and discretion." Chapter 4, verse 10, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." And verse 20, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings." We're thinking about being strong in the grace of Christ Jesus. Chapter 5, verse 1, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding." And then in chapter 6, verses 1 to 5, "My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler." And in chapter 7, verses 1 to 5, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words." Be strong in the grace of Christ Jesus. Being strong in the grace of Christ Jesus means to be morally strong and able to choose right and to keep your heart pure in your life. Continuing in this thought of my son, Paul writing to Timothy, verse 2, back in 2 Timothy 2, says, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Something that you need to think about being engaged in is kingdom propagation. What does that mean? That means that the spreading of something, a belief or a practice into new regions. Learn, understand the teachings of the Bible, not just so that you can have a good life and so that you can have a nice family, but do it so that you are equipped to teach others, that others may teach others. Do we get the picture? Do we get the vision of kingdom building, of church planting? It's not talking about moving somewhere and starting a new church so disgruntled people from another church can move there. It's talking about going somewhere and building the kingdom, starting a church where there is no church. Maybe that's what it's talking about. That's what it includes. I know that. What have you learned that others have taught you? I was at a funeral not so long ago, and the preacher said a lot of good things. And I wish I could remember the good things he said, but he said one bad thing. And he said, we don't have to go to other lands to be missionaries. He said, our mission is right here. We're here to help each other. I thought, dear preacher, what if no one would have taken the gospel to Europe? You would still be a heathen man. If no one would have ever spread the gospel, and all we would be here for is to help each other. Oh, that's true. We're here to help each other. It's good to help each other. But not just here to help each other. Have nice lives in Lancaster County. Young men, get the vision of learning and studying the scriptures. Learn these things that you may commit them to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. One of the newsletters that ended up in our mailbox just last Sunday was talking about some groups of people that are moving to Europe, to Norway, and putting effort forth. And I admire and respect those people very highly that move somewhere to plant churches like that in places where there are no churches. And you can look at me and wonder why we came back, and that's another subject. We won't talk about that, but I have a lot of respect for people that burn their bridges behind them and go to live there and to stay there and to be there and to plant a church. Okay, let's go to the second one here, being a soldier. And this is maybe one that we don't know so much about. Our people are not soldiers, but we are soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And there's a few things that we can learn here. The soldier, Paul writes about enduring hardness. And I like to encourage you to be prepared for hardness. Don't expect a life of ease. It's not whether we will be confronted with the enemy, it's when we will be confronted with the enemy. It will happen. If we look at chapter 1, what Paul was writing about just before, he wrote these words. Verse 15, he says, "This thou knowest, that all they which are turned in Asia be turned away from me, of whom is Phygellus and Hermogenes." Here Paul is talking about people that turn away from him. Hardness. Hard things happen in life. Hard things come our way. We will be confronted by the enemy. We will be faced by the enemy. We need to prepare ourselves as good soldiers to endure hardness. And I think it has a lot to do with a mindset. If we expect a life of ease, if we expect an easy life, then hardship will take us by surprise. But let's just remind ourselves that life will bring hard things. And I'm not being pessimistic. I'm just being honest and real about life and its experiences. Paul writes that as a soldier, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. He says that the soldier's goal, the soldier's vision is that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. A soldier simply obeys commands, follows the commands that are given to him. It seems like they're trained not to think for themselves, but to obey the commander, the one in chief, the one in charge, the chief, and to follow his direction. And in that way, the one who has called us is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Do what Jesus asked you to do without questioning. Do what Jesus asked you to do, even if it doesn't make sense. Beware of and avoid entanglements. The entanglement of two masters. Jesus said that no man can serve two masters. He will hate the one and love the other. And so often we try to prove Jesus wrong, and we try to do what he says we can't do. We try to serve two masters. It's not possible. It will not work out. We try to be involved in two kingdoms. We try to fix the problems of the earthly kingdoms. We lose out on being active in the heavenly kingdom, in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Beware of and avoid entanglements. Some of the entanglements that we have today, even things like technology, let's be honest, these things entangle us so easily. It's disturbing how entangled that we can get, how much we depend on these things. Sometimes I, feel like throwing it as far as I can. It's so frustrating, and yet I'd end up being a hermit and not being connected to the rest of the world, and that's not right either. But beware of and avoid entanglements. Even business things can, there's so many things that entangle us. If we want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we cannot be entangled with the things of this world. Let's be consumed with pleasing the one who has called us. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Learn the ways of God. Love the things that God approves of. Someday, as a workman, you will be called to give an account to God. You will not be called to give an account to the preachers or to your parents. You will be called to give an account to God. And you want to stand there before him with joy, knowing that you have worked faithfully. You have nothing to be ashamed of. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's think a little bit about an athlete yet. In the third point, verse 5, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Games have rules, games have boundaries, games have guidelines, and if you want to receive a crown in the Olympics, you have to play according to the rules. And it's the same way in our Christian life. The Bible is not just a suggestion. It's not just another good way to live. The Bible is the rule of our life. The Bible has the kingdom principles for us to live by, to play fair with. And if we want to receive the crown, we have to play according to the rules. And they're not hard, they're not difficult. They're for our good. And they're not a secret. God has revealed his counsel, God has revealed his will. God has made plain to us the counsel of his will through his word. And I'm so thankful for that I can know the rules of the game. It's not a game, but you understand what I mean. Another point about the athlete is he often thinks about the crown. He fantasizes about receiving the crown. And we often use the word fantasizing in a negative way, but this morning I want to tell you we need to be fantasizing about heaven. thinking about heaven, if you don't have a longing to be there, that scares me. Something needs to change. Fantasize about heaven. Think about heaven. Read Revelation 21 and 22 every day for a week. Ponder the beauties and the glories that are prepared for those who love him. Memorize parts or all of the chapter. It will do wonders for you in helping you strive and continue on in life. The athlete thinks about the crown, anticipates the crown, looks forward to receiving it, to that moment when he receives it. And it's worth all the toil and the training, the exercise, and the pain of the running or whatever it is, just to receive the crown. No matter what we face in life, if we endure for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be worth it just to receive the crown, if nothing else. The moment we get there, the experience of receiving the crown will be wonderful, will be worth all the toil and the labor that we experience in this life. And then the fourth one, he says, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. And he uses the illustration of a farmer and could ask the question, what are some of the qualities of the farmer? What does a farmer have to do to experience the fruits? Well, every step of the growing season is performed with the harvest yield in mind, with being partaker of the fruit. Why does the farmer prepare the soil? Why does he carefully place the seed? Why does he diligently control the weeds? Why does he walk the fields to look for bugs? Why does he fertilize the soil? Does he do it just for fun? Maybe there's some farmers that do it just for fun, but usually the farmer has the yield in mind when he does all those things. Kingdom living is not just about fun. It is a life of work, but it's a life that whatever we're involved in, we're doing it with the eternal harvest in mind, just like that song that we sang this morning. Lord of harvest, send forth reapers. And that song talked about going out in the early morning and laboring in the late evening. Why do we do those things? Just for fun? No, it's because we have the eternal harvest in our vision. I'd like to encourage the young people. This week you had evangelization, and I know this took a little more thought into. You have to put a little more thought into what you're going to do than just having a volleyball game. But it'd be interesting to know if it was more rewarding than a volleyball game. And I'm not against volleyball games, but I'm just trying to help you think about the difference. Did you think about the difference? How rewarding it was to go do something, or maybe, I don't know what you all did. But there's a yield that we're working for, a yield that is even in eternity. So young man, as you make your choices, ask yourself, how will this affect my status on the judgment day? How will this choice that I'm about to make affect me? And you might say, is life really that serious? Well, yeah, life is serious. And the choices that we make will affect us. The farmer is an example of patient labor and toil. You know, the sun gets hot and the days are long, but the farmer continues on with the harvest in mind. And the farmer tries again year after year. You know, he makes some mistakes one year, and maybe his yield isn't quite what he expected, quite what he wanted, but the next year you find him doing the same thing again. In the spring, planting seeds, preparing the soil, and he always has a bumper harvest crop in mind as he does that. Doesn't always turn out that way, but that's what he tries for every year. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Don't get entangled with the affairs of this life. Play according to the rules and have the patience of a farmer. I also like just to encourage us to be kingdom builders, to be conscious of the kingdom. And I hope to live long enough, young men, to see you all someday be strong fathers, faithful kingdom builders, men that approach life and expect to make their life and to make their choices so that they will have eternal rewards and an eternal harvest. May God bless you as you do that. And to the rest of us as men that our life is already kind of set in stone, how we do things, let's wake up and let's work with the diligence of the young men. May God bless us together. We're going to kneel for prayer, and I'd like if I'll just ask for a few volunteers, maybe a few young men could pray for the fathers, a few fathers could pray for the young men, and then I will finish with prayer. I won't give you much time, and it doesn't have to be long, but I'll open it up for that. Let's kneel for prayer.